Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction. He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
All right, start a new series on the subject titled, What? Trauma. All right, and I'm going to show you scripture. Let me show you a scripture. Mark chapter number 8, verse 24. The book of Mark, chapter number 8, verse what? 24. Are you there? If you're there, say amen. You're quiet. Mark 8. Now let me start the reading from verse 22 so we can have contextual background to understanding this. And he cometh to Bethesda, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hand upon him, he asked him if he saw aught, that is, if he could now see. Then the man looked up, and he looked up and said, I see men as trees, walking. After he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored, and he saw every man clearly. All right, and he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to anyone in the town. All right, we know the drama that followed, but there's something really, we miss something whenever we look at this scripture. The man had never seen in his life, never for once. And the person praying for him, Jesus himself, he did not delegate. He prayed for him himself. As a matter of fact, he took it extra. Okay? When the blind man came, the Bible said he held him by the hand and led him away from the people. Then Jesus spat on his face. The first thing the man saw was men like trees. Listen, when you begin to do the kind of things you have never done before, you perceive everyone else as superior and yourself as inferior. Listen. Where was he talking from? It was the blow that blindness had dealt to him. A man who had never seen, how did he know trees? What he was simply saying is that the kind of people I'm seeing don't look like me. They are taller, they are higher, and they are bigger. The reason why I'm taking this subject is a prophetic subject for this year. You're about to step into the kind of field you have never stepped in, and you must not perceive men as trees. Are you following what I'm saying here? I know you have seen life to an extent, but you are about to see something entirely new that will blow your mind. You are about to enter into rooms and corridors where you must not perceive men as trees. While I was praying, preparing for this meeting, one of my daughters just sent me a video that I posted. I'm inside private jet, flying with her woman, Shonwu. I said to her, never show it to people that you are too privileged to be with them. Own that place. When God lifts you, if he has not dealt with the scales in your mind, you will see men like trees, and they will know you don't belong there. Okay? So he said, I've seen men like trees. These guys are too tall. They are higher. Where was he talking from? He had never seen. I'm going somewhere. The known can traumatize the new. What you have always known can restrict everything else God wants to do. And that's why you need to wake up. All right? And you look at this. Search across scriptures, you will see several episodes of people who kept seeing men like trees. And the reality of that was that they never stepped into God's best for them, because they were traumatized. Exodus chapter number 1. Are you with me? Exodus 1. Now let's look at the conversation here. All right? Let's start reading from verse 6. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation, and the children of Israel were fruitful, and increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was full of them, was filled with them. And there arose a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. Let me say this to you as a word of encouragement. As God lifts you in life, you will meet people who pretend like they don't know about your exploit. It is not because your exploit is small. It's because their mind is small. When you meet such people, embrace them and help their esteem. Is that okay now? The mark of Joseph was so loud, it will take pretense to ignore it. But this guy deliberately said, who is Joseph? Is he an Egyptian? No, forget about him. All right? And the reason why he did that is clear. There arose up a new king. You didn't know Joseph. We too, we don't know him. All right, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more. Somebody say more. That's the first population. And mightier. Might now talks about their capability, their strength as a people. Look at it. They are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it comes to pass that when therefore let out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us. And so get them up out of the land. And they did set. I don't have time. Go and listen to my message, reversing the mistakes of Joseph, to show you that they actually built 2 estates for them. Okay? Let's continue. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Phithom, Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with a rigor and made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar and in bricks, and in all manner of service in the field, and all their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. That was what they did. Okay? I showed you this when Pharaoh observed them. They had 2 dimensions of growth. The first is numbers. The second is strength. When they dealt with them, there was no more conversation about strength. What was left was what? Numbers. So you can see that with African nations They have the power. They used to have what it takes to be world power. And then they dealt with them. Now you hear the most populous this and the most populous that. Because affliction takes away might and leave you with numbers. You must understand that. Affliction takes away might and leaves you with what? Numbers. Never trivialize sufferings. Even when the suffering is gone, the man may still be suffering from the effect. And I've shared some of my funny stories that I suffered. But there's no trophy for suffering. Mm-hmm. Because if all of us start arguing now, say, I suffered more than you. They are not necessary. But you will discover that even when that season is over, you still have the tendency or the ability to do to yourself what your affliction did to you. Let's use the Nigerian one. Simple one. Okay? When you go to the market and buy meat, the sizes you cut them to, is it your affliction to your oppressors that are doing that? No. You have continued from where they stopped. That's the orientation. Affliction does it to a level. You will do it better. They afflicted them. Okay? And they never recovered. They never did. And that's why we must not trivialize this teaching. Because I'm just getting started. They never recovered. At some point, they were saying that we miss the garlics, the cucumbers, the melon, and the leeks in Egypt, plus the chains. Because when a man goes through the furnace of affliction, he loses his self-perception. And that's why I've come to announce again, you are not your problems. Every challenge you are facing or that you are faced only came to pass. And be careful of your bargains while you are in it. Because you may bargain your worth out of it. Is that clear now? Very important. Okay? I teach people some business principles. Don't make bargains when you are too excited. You may sell yourself. If you are going to discuss business with somebody, person talking fast, giving you things that will make you excited, you will sign contract, you will discover, I did not read it. Because you are not calming down. And don't make bargains when you are down. Okay? Because little things will communicate your essence. You must understand that. So, this is a real thing. The devil has tried it again and again, and guess what? It is working. The devil has done that across scriptures again and again, and it is working. So, let me begin to introduce you to our conversation tonight. What is trauma? What is trauma? I'm going to give you different definitions across, but understand that I'm focusing particularly on the mind. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. A trauma is an injury to the mind or emotions. An injury to the mind or emotions. Take that as first definition. Number two, an unforgettable experience that scars the soul. An unforgettable experience that scars the soul. Number three. Number one, I said an injury to the mind or emotions. Number two, an unforgettable experience that scars the soul. Number three, a disturbing or distressing experience. A disturbing or distressing experience. Number four, an emotional wound leading to psychological injury. All right? An emotional wound leading to psychological injury. So somebody may want to ask, Why is he teaching on the subject of trauma? The body of Christ. There are many things that need to be taught. Salvation is there. Let me show you. Are you with your Bibles? Luke chapter number 4, please. So let me start reading from verse 16 so we can have background to this conversation. Luke 4 from verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, as his custom was. And he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. The word there is actually another spelling for Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me," because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. "He has sent me to heal the broken hearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the rediscovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book. So when he said, "He has anointed me to do what?" To the brokenhearted, to heal. Somebody said to heal. Said again, to heal. Let me show you what that means in the simplest way you should never forget. Okay? Please come. One of the personalities I love so much, I read his books and I saw a movie that was acted out just for him. It's the man Nelson Mandela. If you want to, probably people have been asking me, what kind of books do you read? I recommend Long Walk to Freedom. But listen, when they arrested him and his friends, and they took them to, I think, Pretoria first, and they were in prison, the first thing they did, and check any prison, somebody gets to the prison, one of the first things they do in the prison is to take the clothes of the person and most times shave the hair. It is a way of announcing, "We own you." Okay? And the idea of those systems is to get a man there and pass him through scripted curriculums to the end that you break him. So, how do you break a man? Pass him through dehumanizing situations. His will bend. The sense of might in him will bow. You know the man is broken when he switched from asking for freedom to asking for food. What that means is, he can no longer perceive life outside. He is now institutionalized. Are you with me? Let me explain. This is the reason why you see that if a man stays long in prison, chances are very high that he's coming back. Because the curriculum of the prison is to make sure that he cannot find identity in the real world. When he gets outside the real world, he's a nobody. But in the prison, he's a class captain. When he gets outside in the real world, he doesn't have anything. In the prison, somebody is fanning him. So when you break a man, he becomes a king in a cubicle. And he can no longer see himself where it really matters. So what does it mean to be broken at it? Because sometimes when you read that scripture, you feel his heart break. No. Let me read the scripture in another translation. We need to understand. And this is the gospel. Is that okay? I'm going to show you another part. This is the scripture. Still that same Luke chapter number 4. Luke 4:18. He said, "God's Spirit is upon me because he has chosen me to preach the message of good news to the poor, sent me to announce pardon to prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to set the burdened and the battered The burden and the what? The battered, those that life has shattered them, to announce God's year. Alright? Alright, let me read Amplified. Look at it. It said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me, the anointed one, the Messiah, to preach good news, the gospel, to the poor. He has sent me to announce the release of captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity. There is a dimension of healing we are used to. Broken bones straightened out. Tumors disappearing. However powerful those ones are, when a person who is broken on the inside is healed, he will still be small. What I'm trying to tell you is that a person can be on wheelchair for 20 years and everybody sees the person and conclude that this person is broke because he's on wheelchair. And 10 years after raising from wheelchair, he's still small. Because now the wheelchair is in the mind. So I saw a story a while back. Well, I don't know if it's fiction, but I read the story somewhere. There's this guy that they were using to test the integrity of prisons. So when they create or develop a new prison or build a new prison, they will bring him there to test the integrity. So he's to break the jail and escape. And he had escaped from every prison they have ever put him. And finally, there was this time they invited him to break this particular one. And the guy did everything. He tried checking the routine of the warders, check when they do this, when they go on shift, try to observe everything, and he was not getting any clue. And he was there longer than he had stayed in any prison. And one time he was broken. Okay? Don't forget what I say being broken means. He gave up. He could no longer see himself outside that thing. And he was crying. And he fell against the door of the prison. And when he fell against that door, the door opened. Then it occurred to him, the real key that kept him was not bars of iron. It was in his mind. And when the devil gets people there, the Bible said what they need is what? Healing. Because affliction of the past can traumatize a man and take away the possibility of thinking anything better can come out. And you know that you will have to be healed to enter into your promised land. You have to. Because there are things you can't conceive, not because anybody is holding whip, but because life has shown you before. It's not yours. It's time to rethink. It's time to rediscover. I might have suffered, but that's not who I am. I said suffering tries to give you a new identity. Tries to change your perspective. Just like Nigerians. We are used to it. It is just 4 years. Just let them. In 4 years like that. He had it for you. Much suffering. We have acclimatized. When an average Nigerian gets to America, he sees men like trees. He's inferior. Meanwhile, the only difference is melanin. Period. That's why I told you. It was the injured mind of Joseph that was making him beg that guy, when you come out, bring me out. At least let me get a job as a butler. Level one. But the original design is that you are coming out to be the prime minister that same day. It is not going to be by favor, it will be by competence. Sometimes this aggression after favor can be a product of a fractured mind. Just help me, help me. Just do anything for me. Just bring me out of this situation. About something like, just marry me so I can live singleness. Like, do me a favor. Let people even call me a missus. Ask your neighbor, do you know who you are? Turn to another neighbor. Hold on. Let me say this. Amen. Even if you are in the lowest point of your life, and God has raised people to do you a favor, never feel worthless because they are doing you a favor. Listen, the moment people know that you feel privileged to be around them, they will manipulate you. They will. Never give that privilege to anybody. When you meet the class of people you have dreamt to meet all your life, always greet them with your shoulders high. Pleased to meet you. So good to see you. You are not pretending. You are simply not seeing men as trees. Do you understand what I'm saying? Are you sure? One of the signs that you are seeing men as trees is over admiration. Ha! You that have been seen inside Telly. Hey. Tell your neighbor, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. When God lifts you and you feel too privileged, people will call it luck. They will believe there's no hard work that brought you there. And that level will push you out. Is that okay now? Very important. Tell your neighbor again, wake up. So I refuse to see men as trees. How will Jesus open your eyes and you are not seeing where? Are you saying Jesus is not anointed? Somebody comes to propose to you. Don't see him as tree. Look into his eyes. Sometimes staring at people in their eyes will separate fools from the wise. I'm just shy. I don't know why I can't look at you. I'm just shy. I'm just. My body is doing me one kind. Shoo. My hand do you. I can't look at you. Shut up. Look at him. A boy was asking a girl, I'll say, you are the most beautiful girl I've seen. The girl said, my dad told me that this morning. How about that? It was in my presence. We were in part one or part two. I can't forget this one. We hanged around as the friend. But when you discover that your friend is now behaving like a fool, you leave him. He was talking to that girl, Lucy. He was just giving his bars. So you are this, I like you. I told the girl, I like you. The girl, I've never seen it in my life. Some girls are wicked. She placed her hands on his shoulder and said, Sam, go and think about it again. You know what he said? The reason why we left him was because he said, okay. He said, okay. Hey, Jesus. And you're in your delay. Okay. Never admire people so much so that you abandon your uniqueness. It is a sign that you are seeing men like trees. If God wanted only them, he would not have created you. Say it again, I am important. You didn't say the word. There's something I needed to feel. Say it again, I am important.
I am important.
Say it loud and clear. I am important.
I am important.
I am not ordinary. I am not to be pitied. I'm not small. I'm not small. Are you small? Let me say this to you. When the Israelites saw the Anakite, look at their report. They said, we saw the Anakite there. They said, we are like grasshoppers in our sight. And so were we in their sight. Meaning that you will perceive people see you the way you perceive yourself. If you feel people are looking down on you, it's because it is bearing witness with the way you see yourself. When people call you names and you are angry, it's because it is confirming your thought. You know, in Nigeria, we ask questions like, are you a fool? What is the response? No, I'm not. You call me fool. Yeah. There's agreement. And when there's no real power, the response is threat. check any nation, the region where they fight the most is the region where they are poorly educated. The response of a poor man is to fight with muscles when you fight with wisdom. Say it again. I am not small.
I know who I am.
This matter is a serious matter. There are people who never dust their certificate and knock at certain organizations because they feel it's not for their kind. They just concluded, I went to so-and-so school, the polytechnic. It's not my kind they are looking for. And they make up their mind. They have not bounced them, they have bounced themselves. What kind of life is that? I remember we were posted to go serve. I got favor on camp, so I chose where I would serve myself. And unfortunately, I went there with a girl. And she too was posted there. And we sat down. It was the College of Health. And they were asking, how many courses can you take? Can you list the courses you can take? So I listed the ones I could take. And the girl, the Bible and the book they gave her, she was not right. And as the man came back, I saw the girl went on her knees. What was going on? He said, please, I don't mind being a cleaner. He said, I managed to pass in school. So please, I don't mind. I will wash the toilet. I will clean the floor. I will clean everywhere. Please just accept me. So I called the man and I begged him, please reject me. I can't cope. I can't be coming here and seeing this every day. So I begged for rejection and they rejected me. What happened to that person? You disqualify yourself based on your own perception of yourself. When you find yourself giving people too much story about your past, who asked you? Because you feel it is bare before everyone. Based on self-perception. Trauma. It's an injury. Fracture to the soul. And that's what the devil wants to achieve. He wants to control you. So let me show you a scripture. Psalms chapter number 11. Psalms chapter number 11. From verse 3. I'm going somewhere tonight. And by the time the meeting is over tonight, one thing will be our testimony. Father, thank you for going back to my past and bringing me out. Because I'm just getting started. Psalms 11, let's start from verse 2. It says, for lo, let me read from Amplified. See, the wicked are bending their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may in darkness may shoot at the upright in heart. Okay, what are they trying to attack? Verse 3. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? So, the devil wants to fight you before you know how to fight. He wants to make sure that by the time you are coming alive to consciousness, you're already disadvantaged. All right? But we're getting somewhere. What is the devil after? Your foundation. It doesn't matter the intention and the amount you have to build. Once the foundation is weak, it will limit how far you can go. It will. Is there hope for anyone with bad or poor foundation? I will show you. Yes, there is. At some point, the one that was born in Dung Hill and the one that had been sitting with princes will meet. Whether or not hands will cross depends on what they have been doing with themselves. But I heard David said that you have lifted me from dunghill and set me among princes. You know, when I sometimes just see things happening, you see children begging on the streets or rolling tires, in the rain and doing all those things. And you see some others in good schools and doing all that. At some point, they will meet. Who told you that when you see people like that, they are finished? Who told you that a man's background is the sum total of his life? Who told you? Sometimes it's people who are born in that condition that have hunger to ascend. And the process of growth forms character in them. There's nothing wrong with being born privileged. Just make sure you have sense. Because you can lose all the privilege. Very important. Okay? So sometimes, if you have been crying, I wish I was born from this kind of family, I would have done this better. Stop that. When you truly look closely, you will discover that there's no disadvantage in any setting. You will not be who you are today except that you went through what you went through. And that process bettered certain characters and anointing in you that will make you see life differently and make you compassionate. Never sit down and cry and start pitying yourself. Oh, I wish. Don't wish for anything. Take responsibility with what you have in your hands. Are you following what I'm saying here? Very important. Oh, I wish my parents were together. I wish they didn't divorce. Oh, I wish I was not raised by a grandmother. Oh, I wish this, I wish that. God will never allow any man go beyond what he can bear. He will not. Settle down. You will discover that hidden in the parables of your life, a contact point of grace, things that God made available that is the exclusive preserve of your kind. To give you an edge. You are not your background. You are not your mother. You are not your dad. You will not repeat their mistakes. You must tell yourself that. God has brought you out. Set you apart. Because it's intentional. There's something he's doing. It's specific. It's deliberate. You may cry, but you are being formed. It is okay to cry sometimes. Some people may look at you and take advantage of you and use you and despise you. In fact, maybe you have been going through settings where everywhere you get to in life, people look down on you. Don't worry. Life is not easy for the blind. There are people that only see when the light shines. But there are those who can spot it miles ahead. You don't get gold on the surface. You dig now to find it. But you are not going to emerge until you stop crying. Listen to what I'm saying. Nobody walks in pity and change their life. People will match you where you are. They will take advantage of you. You want to share your story with everybody. Some will use it against you. So you must learn to be strong. Tell your neighbor, be strong. Look at another neighbor again and say, be strong. Sometimes some boys will come to your life and say, I like you, until he discovers the kind of family you are coming from. Just when you tell him, this is the condition in my family, he runs. That simply means that family condition has been a system that is sifting fools from you. It may not be pleasant, but it is doing a good job. Are you with me? Look to another neighbor again and say, be strong. So, the devil likes to attack things from the root. Because when you get anything from the root, you set a tempo for it. Are you with me? I want to try to explain what I'm saying. It is difficult to join a vehicle that is moving and drive it. The driver has to join the vehicle before it moves. When the vehicle is already moving, whoever is in charge is in charge. So, the devil wants to join himself so that he can be in charge and steer the wheel of your life. That's what he wants to do. Okay? He wants to get in and from and create chaos. Let me tell you the way the devil operates. The devil is not omnipresent. He is not a man or an individual, not a man, who is causing chaos all over the world, but is not everywhere at every time. The only way he can do so is to be strategic. Do you understand what I'm saying? They said to somebody, you have slept with a 10-year-old girl. Why did you do it? It's not the devil. He only created the temple. You will run with it. It's a seed. It will germinate. Because he may never have your time again. Just make sure you plant it there at the time you plant it. Don't worry, the harvest is sure. So it's not the devil. Once you understand the way this system works, then you will know that, okay, this is a seed system. We can kill it from the root so we can terminate the harvest. It's as simple as that. Okay? So, the devil wants to get into homes. He's really all out against families. We need to understand this because this is the smallest but the most functional unit of the society. As goes the families, so goes the society. Okay? So, he wants to infiltrate the system with ideas, with dysfunctionalities, with pain, so that the children that will be born from those systems will be born defective. One of the things environment does is that it also communicates possibilities. Your environment does not just show you a reality, it shows you possibilities. So let me explain. If a child grows up from a family where the father slapping the mother, dragging on the floor is a regular thing, even when the child hates the father with passion and swears that I will never do this in my life, that child still has the likelihood of doing it compared to the one who didn't see it. Because it will get to where it will get to. It will say, maybe this is why they beat women. Why? Because seeing it has communicated that it is what? Possible. Tell your neighbor, be careful of what you see. Are you seeing that now? So, what is the devil doing? Making sure that seeds are planted where there is dysfunctionalities, where there is issues, where there is confusion, where there is chaos, so they can carry that seed. Sometimes the attack is actually not all those things. The attack is growing up in a setting where there's so much depravity. And that's why our role in the society is beyond just churchgoers. If we say we have revival in Nigeria, we must enter the society now for transformation. If not, we are all sitting on the keg of a gunpowder. The people we ignore on the street, when it gets to where it will get to, they will say the only way out is that I will avenge all the suffering I've gone through. I will kill these people and they will taste a bit of my pain. That's how people become hardened. Spread love. Spread healing. Spread the wave. Okay? Spread the wave. Unfortunately, now everybody suspects everybody. Everybody suspects everybody. Let's see somebody and just hug the person. So good to see you. It's becoming increasingly difficult to give love. Because of the defect in our society, particularly in Nigeria, everything is hard, including pastors. Have become hard. And the anointing can take the posture of your dysfunctionality. And I've seen it. It's a journey I had to go through, that your kind of background can affect the way the church looks. Yes. Your background does not just affect your family, it can affect the church. That because you are not healed, you bleed on all the members. And you can call it faith. Faith talking. If you think you can come to this church late, you get out. This is not your father's house. Where is he talking from? What he has seen. That's not the Holy Ghost. That's not Jesus. And that's not faith, because faith functions through love. That's upbringing. And you can get a calling around it and get scriptures around it. I'm saying these things are so deep, they can affect your entire life. And where is the devil? Just from the beginning, just planted the seed and it will leave. It will leave, sorry. A good man plant his seed and went his way. The devil imitates him, plant his own seed and leave too. This is the result. It will come to this, it will come to that. Okay, I want to say something, but I'm going to say it. Sir, what I want to say, fact check. Okay, and those of you who have traveled different countries, then you can bear witness with it. Go and check. When you travel to some countries, you'll be shocked. Is it the same Holy Ghost in Nigeria? Nigeria, because of the hardness of both your heart and the pastor, in order to receive, you will collect. Come here. You know, a pastor was going to impart me, and then I was stubborn. So as he was coming to lay hands, I stood like this. This impartation, now me and you, I pushed my head to, I was pushing my head to his hand. If I fall here, my siblings will laugh and they will say, so I'm. The man lay hand, put me, I stood. Later, I started turning me. When my high turned, I said, now I shall lie down. So I lay down. And the man said something like, it's a stubborn spirit that is not stubborn spirit. If the spirit is stubborn, it means both of us are stubborn. But you'll be amazed that just step to other places, just small worship, people are already crying. Nigeria, you are still 2 hours away from the Holy Ghost. Why is it? Say these people are faking it. One of my friends was explaining when he traveled to Texas and he saw people worshiping. In the worship, they were carrying balloons and were singing. I mean, balloon. Hey, blow, blow. Yeah. And they were under the anointing. He said that was when it occurred to him that his heart was hard. Ah, you have faced problem. And those things have formed sediments on the layers of your heart that now become stuff to see God and to perceive the reality. You have seen life. Look at the things you have survived. Only you. When you share your story, they can make 20 days of newspaper. You have seen life. That's why we don't perceive God on time. Because sometimes, that's why I say, I've said this, whether in the church or in the society, we'll come back to this truth. The generation that will question things will be the ones that will break through. I had to start asking, why is it that for Holy Ghost to move in meetings, we'll have to gather like seven? Now we say, Holy Ghost fire, Holy Ghost fire, Holy Ghost fire, fire, fire. Roll, roll, roll. It's a dimension. But later I found out that prophecy is not epilepsy. You don't have to roll on the floor to speak. When will you stand before kings to prophesy? Apologies. If that's the one you know, I'm saying it's not about God. It's the layer of your heart. So when we get to places where we see people are not doing all those struggles, we are surprised that all these American preachers, they're not as anointed as we are. I'm saying, I think it will take Nigerians longer to adjust to heaven. Do you know what you have survived? Since 1960. At Intobo, we are building it. In this country, you survive one. They say this is the worst there can ever be. Another one come. We keep building. Survival methods. Nigerians should be studied. Like we should be isolated, studied as specimens. But I'm saying that these things are forming layers. You will have to clear those things and choose, I will love. That we can hold hands truly and there's connection. You check now, even in church, when we say join us to a neighbor, I'm not saying the neighbor is squeezing your hand. There's no feelings. He's forgotten. I'm not even know what I'm talking about. Have you held hands with a neighbor? You are praying, Pastor, please wrap up the prayer. Because the neighbor can't be touched. It's trauma. And it's happening to all of us. Gradually, we are not normal again. You don't believe that now we are used to driving and seeing dead bodies on the road. And say, who is that? Oh, they will carry day one, day two. Have you gotten used to that? And the more we experience these things, the less we perceive God. Betrayals, heartbreaks, different things. We've survived so much. Touch your heart. Place your hands on your chest. Say, I have plenty love to give. Say it again.
I have plenty love.
Say it one more time.
I have plenty love to give.
I'm a love being.
I'm a love being.
Amen. Sometimes I see videos online. A woman has gone to eat with her own children and the house help. And the children will be eating meat pie, drinking things, and they give the house help a bottle of water. And I used to ask myself, you can own today, but who told you that you own tomorrow? Things change. The beggar will be lifted from dunghill and set amongst princes. Some of us used to be driven from seats where they put dignitaries. But who is it that has spoken when God has not said it? Hands do cross. It won't go forever. Ah, no. Let me tell you something. You might be going through a situation where there is no word with which you can get hope and encouragement. Hold on to God. Okay? Hold on to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Said, my emotions are healed. At some point as a pastor, I did not know that my heart has been battered. You know, in ministry, you can have PTSD. That people can betray you, and from that moment, you can no longer perceive people right. You can get to a point where you are greeting everybody, but you are not letting them into your heart. Just so you don't betray me. I don't want to give you too much because I don't want to go through what I went through. Let me explain a concept. I love boxing. I trained in boxing until somebody beat me up. So somebody was explaining. Please don't forget what I want to tell you, okay? It's a very powerful concept. Two boxers. So let's make Pastor Toby, please come. Nakale, please come. So let's assume that. So the guy, okay, let's say I'm the guy. And then he's about to fight another guy, Anthony Joshua. In real sense, he was talking about him. So they asked him, what's your game plan? He said, I'm going to beat him. He said, because I discovered that the last time he gave his best was when he fought Vladimir Klitschko. So after that fight, he said he has become something else. Though he won the fight. Listen to what I want to show you. This guy won the fight. But the guy he fought took him to a realm in that fight that both of them digged it. That from that day going forward, this guy is afraid of ever touching that realm again. You can win and still not want repetition because of the pain. So, and they now analyze and say, when boxers get there, they're already rounding up. Okay? So he said, that's his game plan. I've seen it. After that, this person beat him. But so when these two now fought, eventually this guy won again. So when he was talking, he said, it's about the mind. It's about the mind. We can pick many lessons from these things. People can take you in a realm to a level in that you discover a kind of hurt, and you will not know you have made a decision. I will not let anybody into this space again. If care is not taken, including your spouse, yes, you do you know you can give your body and yet not your all? Ha! Yes, where your heart is far. You can get to a point where you are anticipating disappointment from people. I know it's just a matter of time. They are all the same. So, let me protect myself. And when we get there, we don't really go through life enjoying all that God has for us. Because you are busy defending and defecting. And what is going to happen is that in the course of doing that, you will not know you are betting pain. You are hurting people. They want to love you, but you are not allowing them. They want to show you they care, but there's no road to your heart. And I discovered that as we climb the ladder in life, that's the more this happens. We become less persons and more of personalities. That we have found professional ways to address everybody. Hello, too good to see you. Pleased to meet you. That person is far from you as the heaven is to the earth. That you talk to people, there is a conversation, but there is no heart connection. How did we get there? Why? It's fear. Fear of disappointment. Fear of pain. Let me tell you this. Thank you. Love, in its essence, is vulnerability. Any love that is not vulnerable is not love. It is vulnerability, not stupidity. If I say I love you, I'm saying I'm giving you the privilege to hurt me if you want to. I am. Oh God, help us. I ask that there will be a wave of healing. There must be. Even in the Nigerian church, people are hurt. I saw the news. I saw the trend. And I said to myself, we are starting a new cycle. A generation that have been struggling to believe that the church can be trusted. There we go again. People are hurt. I've studied it. Nobody hates church. Quote me anywhere. Nobody hates church. And that's why when I talk to atheists, I don't talk to them about Jesus first. I talk to them about healing. How did you get here? What happened? You lost something that made you believe God can be alive and this is happening. Let's talk about it. And every time we touch there, we always come back with healing. And you discover that the person who never laughs is now laughing and smiling and crying. You see their vulnerability. It's hidden there, covered. But layers of muscles and six packs, but they are there. And sometimes when we talk about church hurt, it is a pastor who is hurt that is also hurting a person who is hurt. It is a cycle. I feel there has to be a platform where preachers can be vulnerable and get healing. Because this anointing makes people feel we don't need healing. But I don't think there's anyone who needs help like a pastor. An average person you see around, you don't know what will happen tomorrow. And you are just hoping. I hope you'll still be there. And things can happen. And every opportunity I have to sit with fathers in the body of Christ, beyond their smiles, I look at them and I see their scars. Sometimes I ask myself, how are you still able to love with all these scars? Can you be touched with what touches others? Do you still have feelings? What's your conclusion about relationships? You no longer believe in having best friends. Why? You've been betrayed. You met a wrong person. Not a wrong institution. Just the wrong person. Dust yourself. Get back again. And love again. One way you can silence those who have hurt you in the past is to love again. Never give anybody the impression that they are so important you can't find their replacement. You hurt me. People say, what would you, this space in your life is vacant. Say, I'm never going to put anybody there, because you are simply saying that person is too important. Nobody deserves this space. They are living rent free in your head, including your ex. From that moment, when anybody asks you for your phone number, you block, chop block it. Men has come. Yeah. Forget that men are plenty. Okay. Whew. Amen. Are you with me? I see God doing surgeries and healing hearts, mending wounds again. You know, I think about life, and at some point I said, when I was planning to get married, I said, my wife was recommending, let's read these books about relationship. I read all those books and I felt there's no book that is addressing me. Because everybody writes from the perspective of the fact that we're all starting from a good point. There's no book for my kind who did not even know how to love. And I've said some things that sometimes when you find people who are saying we can't get our hands off each other, we're in a relationship but this, somebody simply doesn't know how to love. You are too broken. The only way you can express love is to touch. Because you've not seen a real definition. That's what is happening. Chances are very high that you are a Christian today, except for a few, because you were born in a Christian home. So you had better chances, right? For accepting Jesus from children's church, because you've always been around the church. There might be people who were born in Muslim families and then God brought them up. Something somewhere else. You can't look at your advantages and talk down others. You can't. You can't do that. 4 days ago makes it 15 years of preaching. Because I sat down and I was counting losses. I remembered this person. We didn't win. We didn't win. We met. We said we were going on a direction that you will not repeat the pattern of your parents. But I couldn't carry the person out. We don't always win. Sometimes we have casualties. Just like the hospital. We have issues. We have cases. When you go for healing meetings and people coming out with a wheelchair, carrying a wheelchair, there are people who still go back with their wheelchairs after the meeting. Any genuine preacher will go back to God and cry his eyes out. How about these ones? Sometimes I sit with people and I hear their stories. Would I have done better? Do you know what it means to be born in a home where your father hates you? Like you will remind him of his sins. because you were born out of wedlock. And he used every opportunity to show you how worthless you are. The image of love and protection is compromised. And you see this girl in marriage and you are expecting, because the devil fought her before she could learn how to fight. And we have to talk about that. And that's why God needs to give us more kind men. That you can know a girl's woes and cover her. I will be the father you never had. Serious. Bless God for testimonies. But sometimes I can't but remember. Sometimes I stay awake till 2 a.m., 3 a.m. with names of people who had left the ministry at some point, who got offended. Are you still there? Are you fine? Are you doing well? I prefer to look like a fake pastor because you are doing better without me than to look original because you are grounded. I prefer that. Do you really listen to people's stories? Do you take your time to connect to people's realities? Have you any idea that your home is not all that exists? And what we are talking about is real. Some people don't know what a home looks like. They grew up in a house, not a home. How about the one that was raped for years by her father? So watching the story of a girl, 17 years old. The elder brother has been sleeping with her, I think, for 7 years, and the father for 5 years. And the both of them knew that they were sleeping with her. The mother had left. And now she had given birth to a girl for the elder brother. Now that's dysfunctionality. Is there a gospel for this kind? Is there repair? Yes, there is. Because there's a generation that must rise and say, we are not leaving anyone behind. Doesn't matter how bad it gets. When we do our church thing, some people don't feel among. We don't connect. Don't you get it? When we have our meetings where we gist, we look like one of a kind, the privileged ones. The son of so-and-so general overseer, the daughter of so-and-so general overseer, coming together to get married. Woo-ray! The privileged ones. And they lock in the shadows and look at us. And you talk to them, it's like they are so far away. Just feel, I'm not like you. Maybe God hated me. That's why I was born where I was born. Even pastors now will check. Are you married from a good home? If you pastored well, their home should have changed. And a pastor will say, you can't marry so and so. That you are pastored for 30 years. Because it is not prestigious. Oh, sorry. You know, we don't say these things in the body of Christ. Sorry. I've sat down to observe many Christian programs. It's just us for ourselves. We use our language. Bronakale. In this church, if anybody called bro, the person is new. We've broken those tentacles. Because bro takes you far away. I say, don't use that language here. Then they stepped it up. Mama dami. Religion shall wants to speak. We can't help it. Please be seated. Whew. Are you with me? Are you sure? Sorry. Studied it. It's like there are people we don't have in our plan. They are not captured in our curriculum for the year. It's for everyone but them. Even our marriage counseling. Have you any idea that life doesn't revolve around you? People have their own realities. Deep ones. And when we come down to this point and raise people up, you know what people say? They say they are building user-friendly church. Should the church be user's enemy? Amen. Ooh. Help us that we will be able to love again. That's the prayer. Say it loud and clear. I'm a love being.
A love being.
Hope you know that the same way you are growing up, doesn't matter the complaints and the schools you went to. Somebody went to a great affair and complained, "Hey, can I go to great affair?" There are people who would pay with half of their life if they have the opportunity to have that name on their certificate. Okay, so I wanted to, actually I was going to narrow from the foundation to talking about childhood traumas and how that is one of the most potent things the devil used to fight people. So let me just, can I jump a bit so I can begin to tie this up now? Okay? Are you being blessed? Are you sure? So I wrote here, the devil finds ways to fight, to begin early with people, trying to make sure that regardless of their fighting spirit, they are starting off on a disadvantaged ground. That's what the devil tries to make up, to do. And regardless of how you try to fight later, you start from a disadvantaged ground. Through an LD or dysfunctional backgrounds. Simply put, the people you call criminals, if they were born by your parents, they would not be. Most of them would not have been. They are victims of their environment. If they are better, they will do better. Are you with me? Children are born blank. Whatever the background is, becomes the filter through which they perceive life and approach life. The background becomes the filter through which they perceive life and approach life. And one way the devil successfully plot attack, are you with me? One way the devil successfully plot and launch attack against lives of people is by fighting them from their roots. Fight parents, but you're actually fighting their seeds. Growing in a dysfunctional background is so bad because dysfunctionality becomes the first exposure of the child. So I wrote, I mean, things, five things here. I'm just going to go through them. Traits of children who are traumatized or people who are still struggling with childhood trauma. And don't trivialize what I'm saying. That there is somebody somewhere who is still running with a perception because of something somebody said when the person was five. We've been exposed to different kinds of people. Most amongst them are those that the devil used to launch a direct attack at certain aspects of our futures, releasing words that may not go away in a hurry. Okay? Are you with me? How many of you still remember things people said to you while you were young and you have not forgotten? Is there anyone here? Let me see your answer. It's happening. It's happening. Number one, individuals who are struggling with childhood trauma find it difficult to stand up for themselves. They are scared. They avoid conflict, not because they are peaceful, but because they are scared. And that fear leads them to isolation. Contact with people can be hurting, so they are isolated. When they are isolated, they get to their caves, and the devil gives them toys, addictions, substance use, something that makes them feel among again. That's what happens. Number two, people struggling with childhood trauma grow up to become people pleasers. You want to please everybody. You want to manage people's ego for them. You want to manage everybody's esteem at the expense of yourself. Some people are dating narcissists, self-absorbed individuals, and they will make you feel bad, and you say it's true and bad. It takes a level of being battered to hang around your abusers consistently. That's not patience. That's bad esteem. Don't give people the impression that you are a rag. I've related with people that nobody has ever walked out of their lives, and I did. You can't put me down at the expense of because of your ego. I will not be abused. You can walk out of abusive relationships. You have friends who will always talk about themselves and shut down your dreams. When you see anything, they shut it down and they are quick to talk about their own. And every time you leave them, you go back doubting your very essence. Or you keep going back. Tale of a slave and the traded slave master. This world is a wicked place. The moment people see that they can control you, they will. Don't be that nice. Be kind. That's the fruit of the spirit. But I didn't see niceness there. Okay? You are a guy who is just starting life. And you are dating this girl that every time you want to go out, she brings all her friends. And right there, you're already borrowing money from UBA. So you can pay all the bills. Stand up for yourself and tell her, this is my budget. You are man enough. Speak up. If she wants to leave you, let her go. Anybody who doesn't understand your season can't be worthy of your future. Let her go. I just have to manage. Let me prove that. What are you proving? Stop trying to use the money you don't have to appease people. Are you following what I'm saying here? It is not everywhere you can give tip. Sometimes the tip is your transport. Oga, collect it. There are places you go to eat, they are giving the impression you collect change. Oga, yes. I will. You know, I went to preach somewhere. I've never seen this one. But because, you know, my nature, I'm a real person though. I'm going to think, you come around me, I'm telling you, thou art God. I went to preach. And I noticed that these people were giving me the impression that you have come here, you will not take honorarium. I said, we'll see. I don't need the money. But because of this this thing I'm perceiving. So when I entered the car, the person brought the honorarium and gave me, and he held it. So I held it too. He was giving me and was crying. I was trying to. I made it awkward. Then I collected on my own and said, God bless you. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. And I wound up and I left. Why do you want to target my heart? Like I must leave it. I collected it. Not because I needed the money. Don't give people the impression that you'll always bow to their will because you want to prove a point. Don't do that. Stand up for yourself. Are you learning something? Number three, individuals suffering from childhood trauma are often shy. Sometimes shy because they are used to disappearing in the midst of people, so they are not used to exposure. They avoid light. They don't want to take the center stage. They have beautiful things on their inside they never do. They can sing, they will never sing. They can dance, they will never dance. But something tells them it's not for you. Or you may never do it well. You may never do it like the rest. Number four. Childhood trauma make people blame themselves for the things they are not even wrong about. You hear things like, it's my fault. Here's a breakup. The guy is clearly wrong. Or they get it. They say, no, it's my fault. It's my fault. I wish I had done it this way. I wish I had been cooking for him. Somebody you are not married to. I wish I had gone to the market earlier. I wish I did not talk like this. It can make you believe that you are not lovable. You are worthless. You are not even attractive. Hope you know when you look at the mirror, you don't really see well. You see what you have heard. Yes. If what you have in your mind is that you are not beautiful, regardless of who is staring at you in the mirror, you won't see the person. You will see that word clearly. Are you with me? When you have issues with trauma, you believe people are doing you a favor for loving you. Feel you are privileged to be loved. How are you not important? Nobody is doing you a favor and they love you. You are important. You are needed. Stop blaming yourself for what others did to you. Okay? That you have an abusive roommate. Say, I think it's my fault. I think it's my person. Alright, learn to look at situations well. And call it what it is. Are you following what I'm saying here? Then, number five. Trauma makes you bully yourself. What you do is that you use the exact same words of your abusers on yourself. I know I'm not smart. I know. I know I'm a stupid person. I know. I know I'm ugly. I know. I know I'm not this. They have sown the seed of that word and then you continue from there. Using heavy words on yourself. Look at what Job was saying. Cursed is the day I was born. This and this and that. What am I teaching on this subject? Number one, because the Lord wants to bring out people who are already making poor decisions due to their background. God wants to rescue them and bring them out. And unfortunately, some are living in the consequences of those decisions already. I've made something, a decision that they are asking, will this ever go away? Yes. And some you will live with it. And it's not bad either. You have a child out of wedlock. Relax. It's not a sickness. Even are not cancers. Okay? That child becomes the testimony of what you have endured and survived. You are not second hand because you have a child. Before God, you are discharged. You are free. You are justified. Sir. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Don't look at your child like the reward of iniquity. You bet another pain. Another cycle is starting from there. Love that child. The man that will love you, that child will come.
Yes, sir.
Very important. Don't look down yourself and feel when they talk about people in church. I wish I am still young. I wish I'm like them. I wish they would perceive me as a queen. You are. And your child is not taking away the crown. You are. Take this from a pastor. You are. Because that's what Jesus calls you. Amen. Okay. So, number two. Another reason why I'm teaching this subject is because we're in a season that is changing. And it will take people who have healthy minds and healthy emotions to step into the fullness of what God wants to give you. So it's time to rise. Refuse to allow your minds and your emotions to be fractured. Rise. Dust yourself from the ashes of the past and enter into the fullness of what God has for you. Are you following what I'm saying here? Let me wrap up with this scripture, Romans chapter number 8, verse 1. Romans chapter number 8, verse 1, quite popular scripture, and I want us to pay attention to it. Romans chapter number 8, verse 1. There is now therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is no condemnation. This is the life we have. Now listen to what I'm saying. You have to get yourself up on time, so you not become prey. There's no time for weeping, locking, and saying, help me, get up. Is that okay now? Get up. Pick yourself up and get up. You don't look like your problem. That's the good news. And you don't have to look like it. So get up and stand in the liberty that God has given to you. Praise God. Let's rise on our feet and give God praise. Let's thank Him for freedom. Let's thank Him for a new beginning. Oh, thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Lord. We bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord. If you came here with a form of pain and something, just yield it to God and just raise your hands and yield it to Him. Oh, and thank Him for liberty, for liberation, for deliverance, for help. Oh, let's thank Him. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child. Come on, two more times. I'm no longer a slave. One more time.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
Thank you, Jesus. We bless you, Father, and we give you all the praise. Thank you for the wave of healing across the body of Christ. Amen. Now listen to this. Look up, everybody. In chemistry, there's something called physical change and chemical change. Simple things, they say. Physical change are changes that can be reversed, either forward or backward. Chemical changes can be reversed. For instance, when you convert liquid to solid through freezing, you can reverse it. Okay? But when you burn a piece of paper, convert it to ash, you can't reverse it. So, they are permanent changes. Okay? Let me give you another one. When people eat and it is, all right, digested in their system and they pass some out as dungs and then the rest absorbed by the body, you can't reverse it and make it rise again. But God said, I will restore the years that the locusts, the canker worms. Listen, when locusts eat, they defecate as they eat. He said, I will call it back. I will restore it again. Brand new.
Yes, sir.
That's what he says. Amen.
Amen.
There is nothing you can do against us but for us. I am not disadvantaged. This is the life I have. I am not disadvantaged. Glory. When they expect you to be cowering and crying, you are rejoicing and say, What's happening there? Because there is nothing you can do against us. But for us. Thank you, Lord. We give you all the praise. Because that army is rising. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We bless your holy name. Amen.
The message you just listened to is sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, FLAME. To partner with FLAME, kindly make use of these account details. 22150052 89 UBA.